A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day. It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. And Ton, this morning we wanted to take just a few minutes and talk about a landscape design class. And I know this is one of those things that I just would love to do because I'm always looking at changing things up in my yard, and right now I'm taking out a whole section of my yard and redoing it. So what a great thing to offer.
It is. Utah State University Extension has a landscape architect who has extension responsibilities that's a professor at USU. And he and one of our extension horticulturists named Rose Zwallen over in the Emory County area spent several months putting this together. The goal of the course is to help do-it-yourselfers plan a yard that's not only beautiful but functional so that you're not ripping things out down the road, and also to make that yard water efficient. It doesn't need to look like the Nevada desert or even the Utah desert. Mm-hmm. And you can have a very beautiful yard and use 50% less water and have it still look really nice and very functional. So the interview just goes through some of the things in the course. I've hyperlinked in our post on the Facebook page. The course regularly costs only $20, which I thought it was going to be $80 or $100.
Right, that's so very inexpensive.
Yes, and they're temporarily offering a 50% off code, so you can take the course for $10.
Okay, and then you did an interview with Jake Powell Rowe about this course.
Yeah, it was Jake Powell and Rose Wallen. I may have missed that in the email.
Oops. Okay, I apologize for that.
No, my bad.
Let's go ahead and listen to your interview.
With this home landscaping course, what are your goals?
I think our goal with this was to make the design aspect of a home landscape something that's really attainable and sort of demystify some of the issues with design that it seems like something that's really challenging and maybe only a creative type person can do it. We really worked to make the course understandable.
So on this course, through the four modules, you specifically designed it to make it simple to get through so that anyone taking the course can understand it.
The Design for Beginner online course is completely self-contained and self-paced. The idea is that the students that take this course can take these modules as well as do the homework on their own and in their own yards, independent of having to have somebody look over their shoulder. So,
how have you designed the course so people can do their landscape on a limited budget?
The course itself is going to save them some money. You know, if they were to hire a professional landscape architect to do a residential design, usually that's somewhere in the range of $2,000 to $3,000 just for the design.
In your course, you've divided it into four modules. And the first one is looking at your yard and knowing what you have. And so can you expand on that a little bit?
The knowing what you have is really, really about understanding, really without judgment, of what exists, what's maybe working. Sometimes, you know, new construction is a blank slate. So understanding what the site is, understanding, you know, property lines, where utilities might be, can really give you a framework for where you need to start.
The next portion here is knowing what you want.
Knowing what you want module is all about establishing goals, a vision of what they want their landscape to look and feel like. So we ask them to create some design goals and create some a design vision statement that helps really create an anchor. So later on in the design process, when there are all those decisions to make, you can always go back to that anchor and say, does this meet the goals of our design? And if it doesn't, then you know that it's not something you need to worry about trying to incorporate into your overall design. So that's what that module really covers is that understanding what you want, creating a list of those things, and then doing then assessing their functionality. How do they interact together? And how do we place them on the landscape in a way so they really work together and become advantageous in your yard?
The next step is making it yours.
So the making it yours module really looks at going through the design process as people may imagine it, where you're coming up with concepts, coming up with ideas, and we really encourage the students to take multiple attempts at creating a design. And so we walk through using a real design of a home that we worked on, and we show them how we work with all these different concepts. And then we try to apply the design principles and elements.
It's like the language of design. And once they understand that, I think that people are able to really a lot more easily see kind of those behind the curtains, see what's making up some of the designs they like.
So the fourth module is making it a reality.
This module seems to be where people run to first. Some of those things that maybe you're unsure about, where to put plants or how to arrange plants, we try to cover that. And we hope over time this becomes an expandable module as we have an opportunity to talk more about irrigation design or other aspects. But these are also, a lot of these are technical questions that are great questions to ask a contractor or to take to your local nursery and say, I have an idea, I've worked through this process, and now I'm at this point where I would like to help your help selecting plants. We hope people will take this course that will help them, both those who are building new homes and starting with a blank slate, as well as those who may have an aspect of their yard or maybe a whole yard they're not very happy with, to go take this course, walk through these steps, and hopefully come up with some big ideas that they're really excited about to help improve their yard. I think all of us have spent a lot more time at home and in our yards in the last year than we had ever before. And some people have realized that their oasis isn't exactly what they like it to be. And so I think a lot of us are thinking about how do we improve our own home landscapes from both a functional aesthetic standpoint, but also, as you mentioned, Tom, from a water conservation standpoint. And we're just really excited to open it up and share it with the public.
Well, thank you, and we greatly appreciate your time.
And, Ton, for our listeners who may be interested in taking the course, if you go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page right now, the Dig Around Town community calendar does include information about the course. It gives you the discount code for that 50% discount, and you can find out more about it as well.
Thank you for putting that up, if it was you or Caitlin. And hopefully people take a look at the course. I think there's a lot of really good information that will help you out if you're redesigning or designing a new landscape.
Yeah, and like I said, if I had just a teeny bit more time in my schedule right now, if my son wasn't getting married in a couple of weeks, I might be able to squeeze that one into. But for those of you who do have time, I love how they lay it out and have you set your goals, because I get distracted. Like, I have goals, but then all of a sudden, oh, I think this would be beautiful here. And so I'm not looking at the big picture. So I like how this course really takes a look at the big picture.
It does, and it prevents a lot of errors. I don't know how many times people will come to the nursery first for plants, where that should be one of the last steps. And this course will help prevent that. But it's just, you know, for the $10, it's worth, if you are doing such things, it's worth the time to go through.
No doubt about it. We have a lot of callers standing by. We have a lot of listeners asking questions. When we come back, Bob, Craig, you will be up next. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning. Let's go right to our phone lines, and Bob is standing by in Bountiful. Good morning, Bob. How can we help you this morning?
Okay, I got a good one for you. 2 years ago, we planted about 400 tulips.
Wow.
In the fall, and they came up that next spring really beautiful. It really looked great. This year, I probably got 6 to 8 of them only. I live in Bountiful, kind of on, not way up high on the bench, more down towards the freeway. And we do have some deer in the area, and we caught them in our cul-de-sac. But I only got about 6 out of 300 from the year before came up.
So do you know if they came up and then were eaten, or they just flat out didn't come up?
They just flat out didn't come up this spring, none. Hmm. The daffodils came up. I had some small miniature daffodils planted at the same time, and they came up in little clusters around our front yard flower beds. But the tulips, no, nothing came up other than about 6 or 8.
The previous year, did the deer feed on those tulips a lot?
My wife thinks they probably did. They looked like it was kind of their salad maybe for the spring, but I can't say for sure. They could have.
I suspect that the tulips, modern hybrid tulips, just don't last as long as a lot of older varieties. So if you would have planted like species tulips or Darwin hybrids, those would have lasted for years. And so you may be running into to where, you know, after 3 or 4 years, they would usually start to fade. You know, you still should have had a good show. But I would suspect that the deer ate them off before they went dormant, and they didn't have enough energy to overwinter, because if the daffodils came back fine, deer won't eat daffodils because they're toxic. So it would more tell me that the deer are probably the cause of everything.
Okay, that's what my wife has an opinion about. There's about 8 to 10 of them that roam our neighborhood, kind of pick and choose where they're going to feed. But
right.
That was just interesting. They beautiful 2 years ago. This year, nothing.
Plant more daffodils.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener is Brian in Kaysville. Anton, he's having a problem with peach tree sap. He says he has a 2-year-old peach tree that has several small globs of sap coming out of the trunk in various places. It's not been injured in those areas, and he wants to know if you can tell him what is causing it and how to treat it and how to prevent it in the future.
I can give him some possibilities, and I can almost guarantee that the tree wasn't painted for the winter with water-based latex paint or wrapped.
Probably
the
not.
The damage is most likely winter damage or damage from a disease called Cytospora, which there's another one called Pseudomonas that looks almost exactly the same. And so those globs could be normal, but I would carve underneath them, and if he's finding dark tissue, like dark brown to black tissue underneath, it's either Pseudomonas or Cytospora. Once it's in the tree, all you can really do is cut it out.
Just cut out the spot?
Yes.
Okay. And then the tree would be okay?
Maybe. You just don't know for sure.
Okay.
You know, and so
it's your best bet, though.
It's your best bet. And so we see, especially over the last several years, just lots of the Cytospora in many stone fruits. And they're just not completely adapted, and especially with the winters we've had, if you don't wrap those trunks and if you don't paint with a water-based latex paint, your tree is much more likely to get that winter damage, and then it becomes more susceptible to peach tree borer.
So that would be the preventative part of his question.
It would be.
Okay. Let's go to our next caller, and that is Craig in Riverton. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. So a little backstory before I ask my question. I had a 15-year-old plum tree and a 10-year-old peach tree last spring just completely die. And I assumed that it was a borer that killed those trees. But this year, I have a mulberry tree that is not leafing. And I've been concerned with it, trying to water it, watching it. And I've noticed this last week that I've got leaves on the bottom half of the trunk, but none of the limbs have leaves on them. They have buds everywhere, but they're just not leafing out. And the ones on the trunk are leafing quite well, and they're about, you know, 3 or 4 inches really big. So I'm concerned that my mulberry trees get on the top. So I'm not sure what to do with that.
If it doesn't leaf out over the next few months, those limbs are probably dead. And I think you're the victim of more winter damage. We have had several species of trees, walnuts, which have also been taking it on the nose from another disease called thousand cankers, the mulberries. There have been many trees due to environmental stress that this has happened to where the upper limbs are dead or very damaged, and the main leaves you're getting are from the lower limbs where it's more protected. If it doesn't leaf out in the next couple of months, you're probably going to have to prune those branches out and let the lower limbs take over.
Mm. Okay, this tree is also seems very rubbery down on the bottom. Is that an indication that something's
going on? What do you mean rubbery?
Well, when I was grabbing a limb, I kind of twisted the tree and the whole trunk would twist and kind of bounce back to where it was, but it really twisted. It didn't have, feel like it had strong, sturdy, solid wood in the trunk.
There could be some rot in the roots also. Is it in an especially wet area?
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, all you can really do is wait and see what happens. And if it doesn't look like it's going to recover, you're going to have to take it out. I wish I had better news or something, you know, that was a faster solution. But over the next couple months, if it doesn't seem to recover, then maybe the next best use is firewood for it. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but, you know, it does hit a point that it may not be worth trying to nurse it along.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, Craig, thanks for your call this morning. Joe in Springville would like to know, Ton, he says he's got black aphids on his cherry tree. He has a ton of them this year, so is there any organic preventative measure that he can take next year?
Not preventative. Well, I'll take that back. Yes, he could spray the tree with a dormant oil, which are reduced risks. And there are some organic ones out there. And because the dormant oils just coat the tree and any eggs or overwintering aphids and other piercing, sucking insects on the trunk and limbs, if you spray at the right time of year, are smothered, and it's not a physical poison. Mm-hmm. So dormant oil would help, but they can fly in. And so the next best bet to get rid of them now would be something like a horticultural soap or neem oil, which are both reduced risk. But I think the best preventative, and it works better if you can get neighbors to do it too, is when you have a cherry tree, whether it's ornamental or fruit bearing, to spray with the dormant oil when USU recommends in the spring.
All right. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.